Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our August 8th regular city council meeting. If you'd all please rise for a short silent prayer, asking for God's blessing upon this city and the wisdom of this council as we make our decisions tonight. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Move to item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call. I see all members of the council are in attendance. So we'll move to item 1.5, citizen input. That's where citizens have an opportunity to express or address the Othello City Council with any topic that they wish. And you would raise your hand and I will recognize you. You can step to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and you have up to 5 minutes. Is there anyone here? Manuel? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Manny Martinez and I live in 1425 East Fern Street, Othello here in Washington. Hey, my concern today is the usage of Lions Park, and we've been playing soccer there since I was a little kid. And I've been noticing lately that the teams have been spending less time on that field as time goes by. They spend less time and people are figuring out different reasons why they can't play there, you know. They're saying that the park is being overused. And I took pictures of the parts that are being overused. And I can pass it around and show you guys, but I'll just go real quick. This spot's about this big around that the city's concerned about, and they're saying that they're not allowing players any games being played there because the wear and tear on the field, you know. There's different options for this solution, you know. We can move the field at a different angle. We can make it shorter. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can resolve this problem and let these guys play there. I have 8 local teams that play there, you know. 3 play late in the afternoon, and they want to keep using this park there. They don't have other options. They work at McCain's. They get up at 7 o'clock in the afternoon. The only option they have is to play there late in the afternoon. They paid. They have contracts. I know you guys made contracts for a reason, right? It's for them to follow the contract, and it's for the city to follow the contract, right? So the city gave these guys contracts. They both got their contracts, and they got them okayed so they can play these games there during the whole season, not half the season, and boot you off and go play somewhere else, and we keep your money. And anyway, so I'm trying to get at, there's different solutions for this other than kicking these guys off the field, you know, and being bullies, whatever you want to call it, you know. They don't want to even talk and try to resolve this problem, you know. These guys are good guys. They play soccer. They have 30 players, 25 players on their teams. They show up with water. They help the community. They go buy food. They go to restaurants. Everything's a big plus for the city, you know, having these guys play. And most of all, they got this contract in their hand. They paid for it already. And the city's not holding up their end. Why not? Why not? They got them in their hand right there. Everything's been okayed. Everything's paid. How come the city is kicking them off the field? I don't think that's right. They don't have the voice, so I'm here for them. I run Othello Soccer League. I have 28 soccer teams. I can't do this for every city, you know, but I'm doing it for these guys, you know, because I'm from here. And I played on that field when I was a little kid. Why can't they play? There's different solutions other than just kicking people out and finding the easy way out, you know. You know, that's not only one way. Kicking these guys out and sending them to go play at the schools, that's not the only solution, you know. You know what I'm saying? So these guys are not doing nothing bad there other than playing sports, you know. Anyways, if you guys have any questions or concerns, I have a picture if you guys want to see it. The wear is not that bad, but we can move the lines inside that and avoid those spots and keep away from those spots that are getting a little bit of wear and tear on them. Okay, the fields can be shorter. teams are okay with that. Is it, está bien con ustedes, tenemos la cancha más cortita? Yeah, they're okay with making the field smaller to avoid those spots, and we'll avoid those spots. Si corremos la cancha east and west, está bien con ustedes también? Yeah, even if we ran the field east and west, they don't mind, you know? So there's solutions for this problem, okay? So I wanted to bring that up and hope you guys make a good decision on these. I've been playing there since I was a little kid, and that's kind of bad getting, you know, spending all this time playing there, and all of a sudden, you know, some guy comes around and you're not playing there no more. Give me a good reason. Why not? I already paid for that. I have a contract. Hold up to it. I'm holding up to it. You hold up to it. Thank you.
Okay. Terry, did you want to respond?
Good evening, Mayor, Council. First, I want to advise Council that we don't have a contract with Manny Martinez. We have a contract with three soccer teams, is all. The fields are, they've got some bare spots where the goals are. We've added fencing before. We've put yellow fencing, orange fencing around them. We've put caution tape. We've put stakes. We've had them pulled up. We've had them thrown to the side. We've moved the goals. We've moved them back. Soccer teams want to play on regulation size field. If you slide the goals in, it's not a regulation size field. If you plant the grass too late in the fall, you can't get grass to grow. You can't get it to grow back for spring, for sports. We have some other stuff, events at the field. They're going to require the grass to be pristine. It's my job as a maintenance and public works director to make sure that those fields and all the facilities are taken care of. We do have an interlocal agreement with the school district, and we did reschedule them for the Juajitas over here, and then we moved them over here to Hiawatha to play. Nobody had a problem with that at the time. I believe for about 2 weeks we called and texted Mr. Manny here to let him know about this issue, and we couldn't get a response from him, so we had to make a decision. We also have conflicts with scheduling. Amy schedules them to play. Manny schedules them to contradict one another, so we have issues in the field. So with the field conditions, we actually close the fields. They practice on the same field they play on. The field gets a lot of wear. School district gets a lot of wear. So we basically close the field and ask that we move them, and we moved them to play somewhere else.
Council, do you have any questions?
So where are they playing?
Manuel, so
I have these guys that they practice there, they don't practice on that field. So other people who go on there, it's not the team.
But according to Terry, they, you know what he just said, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He staked out the area so you guys don't play there, so we can allow the grass to grow, right?
Yeah.
And then also we've set you up with Juajitas and with Hiawatha to play in them fields. But
there's no access to Juajitas right now. And
they play after 7 o'clock at night also, so there's no lights either.
Yeah, but they won't have lights in the middle of the night.
So the lights help you out on the west, south end of that park, you turn them lights on or
what? We turn those lights on at 7:30 when the teams get off. Some of the guys work at 7 o'clock in the afternoon. The majority of the players work from a game. So they get off at 7:30 in the afternoon and they play there.
So how about the north west end? Is that, can we switch them off back and forth?
We don't, we keep hearing from the teams they need a regulation size field in order to play. We also heard when we came in and we switched these teams, we also heard that they couldn't play until 7:30 and needed lights. Same individual turned around and said, well, asked if he could play at 6 o'clock. So if we're not getting a straight skinny, I don't know what skinny we would get. But we need a straight scoop if we're going to work things together. But I've got a job to do as well, so we work it out as best we can.
Like Angel said, if they're willing to play on a smaller field, could they play on that northern side where the lights are?
You could probably play over there. I have a Chicano softball tournament that's coming in there Labor Day weekend.
But it's the corner of the field anyway. It's the corner of the park.
It'll be.
It's about the same size, isn't it?
Well, it's back on the ball field back there. It's still on the infield grass, outfield grass.
So refresh our memory, the northwest field has a fence, a home run fence, and the southwest field does not.
Correct.
And that's why they play on the regulation side on that southwest side of the field.
Correct.
So, is this, we have an interlocal agreement when we run into scenarios like this that we go to the schools. They can't access Juajitos from Cemetery Road?
Well, you can access it through Birch across to the bus loop. That's okay. The open side of what we've just got through the construction side, which we just made available here last Thursday when we had a meeting with the school district.
That would take care of one community. What about the other community? No one can play at night. I wonder, are you guys okay playing at night? Because they gave you, the same schedule I got here, I gave them, and they gave this to the city. And the city signed off right next one, each one of their games.
Mayor.
They have copies of them.
But did you understand why he's stopping you in that southwest corner? He said he's worked with you guys to make sure, you know, they've moved the goals so you can allow that area for the grass to get better.
Yeah.
But you guys moved the stakes. You're always going back to the same spot. Is that what you just said, Terry?
Yeah.
You're not working with him. That's what he said.
In the past, that's what's happened. That's why we called Manny 2 weeks in advance. We texted him. We called him. We couldn't get an answer. He passed me 3 times in town and still never sought me out. So we had to make a move. We had to do something. And so with the interlocal agreement, we called the school district. We made that decision and moved the lead.
Yeah,
you've paid for
I don't know any problems until these guys come in.
Okay,
you're having trouble with the field.
Manny, you've paid for the use of the park. You're still getting use of the park. It's just being moved to a different location. You need to respect that. You're getting hostile about somebody trying to run you off. They're not running you off. They're asking you to cooperate with them. Because the park does belong to everybody in the city.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so...
Not to him, everybody.
To everybody. So we manage that for the whole of the city. So if we ask you to cooperate and move to a different location within the park, why can't you cooperate and do that?
Why can't we make the field smaller and still play at the park?
If you stay off the area that he says.
Exactly. See, if we're not told,
okay, if you can do that, then we're coming to an agreement.
If you're not told to do this, you're not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? If you're not told that something is wrong, that you're doing wrong or whatever, they need to tell them. That's not me. I'm not the one playing on this. You know? I'm the guy that organizes the game. I'm trying to represent them. Because they paid for this, and they're saying, hey, this doesn't seem right. You know, we paid for this thing already. Now they're taking us off.
You paid for the use of the park.
The park.
Okay.
Lion Park.
For the use of the park.
Lion Park, yes.
Yes. Not the whole of the entire park.
No, Lion Park.
Okay. So all they're asking you to do is move a little bit farther away from that area that's being disrupted.
That's right. If they're okay with that, that's what I was asking them earlier. If they're okay with that.
Okay.
Well, moving the park, moving the field sideways, moving the field shorter. There's a lot of different solutions to problems.
And I think we'd be willing to work with you on that. It's just that Terry has said that they've even fenced it off before in the past, and people have just pulled out the stakes and the fencing that was around it and threw it off to the side and went ahead and started playing on it again.
Yeah,
so we're willing to work with you.
Whatever happens during the week, it doesn't concern these guys. You know, we play on the weekend, Saturdays and Sundays. The end. Whatever happens during the week, then they got to deal with that. Separately from these guys, you know? These guys don't have anything to do with that.
Are you saying somebody else is removing the stakes or
something? Somebody else is playing on it during the week. I see people out there right in front of the goal all week long because the goals are right there for the same spot they play on. So there are people during the week out there playing. You drive out and you see this all the time. You know, I drive out and I see kids out there. Right where the goals at, they're in the middle. Right?
Okay, so if we move the goals and set the goals up in a new location, can we guarantee that they'll stay there?
The other thing that I might help Terry also is to have one spokesman telling him things. One tells one thing, one tells another thing, And you should have just one guy going to him. That way, he doesn't keep, you know, he doesn't get confused and he knows what you want. And you should respond to him when he's trying to text you to find out some information also.
Yeah, you should try, you and Terry should communicate with each other to make sure that's all rolling. That's what Larry just said.
Yeah.
So that'd be ideal to make sure everything goes good. Myself, Manuel, I really do appreciate you guys doing that. I don't know about you guys, but that's my route pretty much every day. And when we have activities going on here in town, it's awesome. It's awesome. I like it. I like to see action going on. So I don't want to see you guys out of there. I'd like you guys to stay, but at the same time, work with each other so we can continue being there. That's my opinion.
I mean, I'm sure because they're willing to do that, you know, they love playing in the park and they're willing to pay whatever the charges was, still, you know, you guys are willing to pay the money to be there. So to them, it's important to play that they like the field, they like the audience, like people come and see them. You know, that's the reason they pay the money to be there.
Could I make a suggestion, and it sounds like the council's wanting to compromise here. Like I said, our biggest concern is that we don't get the grass repaired.
Yes.
And so I would say that if we do this and shorten the field, which I think is probably the only solution, that trying to move it puts it within the softball field boundaries, as you and I discussed, Manny. But the first time we see that the goal's moved and the stake's gone, then we got to call it quits because we can't continue to go through this. So you guys need to help us police that then and keep, I mean, you know the people out there playing probably, and keep the people off of it because we can't have that. So if we do this, it's imperative we get the stuff repaired because we got the circus is going to be out there. We got the Chicano softball tournament, which we're trying to grow that into something more. So we need to have a pristine field out there and get it going for next year. So the only way that I think the council should agree to that is put that stipulation on it that the first time we see those stakes down, man, I don't care who's doing it, you guys I gotta help police that because we can't have it over and over again. We can't have it moved and then try to move it back, and we just, it ain't gonna work. So I would suggest that if you guys wanna compromise, you do it that way.
I think whatever happens here in the week, that's the police department there in Terry's area. You guys play there Saturdays and Sundays. That's it. They don't practice there. They practice other places. Only days they want to use it is 2 days during the week. Whatever happens, if they throw garbage, they pick it up. If they do anything there, they've been told they better keep that part clean after they get done playing. Those are the 2 days they should be responsible for. You know, my concern is that's the only 2 days that they're in. So why should they be policing this area that they're not? You know, these guys work all the time. You know, they get out of work at 6, 7 o'clock at night. They can't go and watch the field and make sure nobody's on there. Come on now. These guys play there during the week. If they're not doing the lines, if they're putting the line in where they're not supposed to be, and then you're right, you know, hey, what are you doing playing on that area, you know? You just walk by there and you saw these guys playing on the spot they're not supposed to come in. What the heck are you saying? I told them, don't play in that spot. And they're playing on that spot. You're 100% right. Get them out of there, you know? They're not going to listen to you. But during the week, that's too much, man. They can't go and police that place during the week. Come on.
Well, I think what he was just saying is, if you guys happen to drive by and see people out there playing on it, stop them. That's all they're saying. They're not saying you have to sit out there.
Well, the other thing I'm saying is, Manny, you said you coach 28 teams, and you've got connections. You probably know every soccer player in town. Is you put the word out that we're going to lose this if we don't self-police. So you, so we're asking you to put the word out for that.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any other opinion?
And just to be clear, Manny, I'm not asking you to go out there and kick them off yourself. I'm asking you to go just ask them to please not, and if you don't, then get hold of us, the police, whatever.
All right. And
I think you filled in a couple of times.
Well, I was on the pool committee, and then last year they kind of moved to the park committee, and then this year I kind of got moved out of park committee and...
Do you have an opinion you want to express?
I like Wade's idea, you know. They pay their contracts, you know, they're entitled to use it up to a point to where the park is being destroyed. And that park has to be, Terry works his rear off keeping that park in pristine condition, and it needs to stay there. So I really like Wade's idea.
Mark? Well, there's always somebody there at the park. You know, so if they see somebody moving it, then that works at the city or anybody else, you know? Because they're there 7 days a week now, aren't they? Or not Sundays, or...
Well, there's games during the night, during the week.
Is there any way that we can put the goals together during the week? Tie them up?
Yeah.
Sure.
During the week?
Sure, if you want to police them.
You do it? You tie them together?
Yeah, during the week, you know, so...
Or chain them and lock them.
Yeah. And on the weekends, like Friday, maybe go and lock them, you know?
Sure.
That would keep people during the week off, including anybody. Even if these guys want to sneak over there, they're tied together. On Friday afternoon, unlock them. They only use them Saturday, Sunday, you know? And another thing I want to add, these guys always take a backseat to little kids playing there. They take a backseat to the tournament, softball tournaments that they have. Sometimes they have more than one or two a year. Just keeping that in mind, you know? Even after they make the contract with these guys, they still get called, hey, we're going to have a tournament this weekend. You guys are off. Okay, so just another thing. You know, you guys emphasize that these guys play there all the time, but they get booted off when little kids are playing on it. They get booted off when the adult leagues go out and play softball.
Well, just
they get
to be,
booted out a lot, you know.
Man, sorry, I need to interrupt and correct you on that. They're not booted off. What we're trying to do is adjust schedules.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Usually the little guys are off of there, the gals are off of there way early. They get their stuff done in the mornings and they're usually off of there. So what we're trying to do is mesh the schedules so it all works together. We try not to boot anybody off. But that's, Terry, correct me if I'm wrong, that's usually the way Amy tries to work those schedules, which is another reason why we need, you know, schedule adjustments way in advance. So we don't try and boot anybody out. That's what's going on, okay? So, and as far as other tournaments, we try and work those tournaments around all schedules. But again, we have to have schedules in advance so that we can work those and mesh those schedules. So that's what's going on, okay?
And like I said, these guys don't have any problems with tournaments. They don't happen all the time. So these guys are moved for little guys. The big tournaments you guys have, they don't have any problems moving, you know. Just like you said, as long as we communicate, it should be fine. Okay,
that's also why we have interlocal with the school district. Is
yeah.
If we have other things going on in the park and they're going to interfere, we normally reschedule, get with the district, just reschedule things so that everybody plays somewhere. That's what we did in this case.
Okay.
We'll work something out then, based on the consensus.
That makes sense. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Manuel. All right. Let's move to item 4.1. Oh, excuse me. We can't go that quickly. Let's move to item 2, approval of tonight's agenda.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to our consent agenda, item 3. Need a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to item 4.1, public hearing to consider a latecomers agreement to the Main Street water main. This time I'd like to open the public hearing at 6:54 p.m. And we have a report from Community Development Director Travis Goddard. Travis?
Good evening. Thank you very much. I apologize. This project was on your agenda originally for June 27th, and a correction was brought to my attention by Kelly that we needed to have a full public hearing. After that public hearing, I went ahead and prepared a notification for the neighboring property owners, or the property owners affected by this latecomers agreement. And at that time, we sent out notice for the August 8th public hearing. And then Wade pointed out at several occasions that I needed to take this to the committee, to the utility committee. And there were actually two things that were riding together. One is a language change for sewer latecomers, and then there's this latecomers agreement for the water main, and I wasn't fully paying attention to what Wade was asking me, and so I scheduled the committee meeting for the language, the code change, but I did not include this. And so at the end of the public hearing, you don't necessarily have to make a decision tonight. You can opt to remand it to the committee to have a discussion, because latecomers and fees associated with connections have been part of several discussions over the last few months. And so that's kind of moving on a different track with the other item that's going to be discussed tomorrow. So I apologize for that, but for the issue before you tonight is the public hearing for the Main Street or the well number 9 latecomers agreement for the water main that was installed along Main Street. Sorry, I guess the map's up. So it was installed along Main Street as an emergency measure to connect well 9, so it comes across here, heads north on the east side of the highway, and across the north boundary line here to well 9, which is located on this property here. And so the properties that are affected by this are these three, because they're on the north side of the main, these four, which are on the south side of Main, and then when it crosses across the highway, it affects this property, this one, and these two properties here. So all of these white bars with the parcel numbers, those are the properties that are affected by this. And what this represents, and this is in your staff report, this represents the individual parcels and the property owner, and it tells you how many or how much footage of pipe is along their frontage, and each one of those lineal feet is approximately $77.21 per foot installed. And so what this represents is the proportional cost to each property owner to pay for the portion of pipe that was laid in front of their property as part of the well 9 water main extension. So that is essentially what is before you tonight. And if you have any questions.
Just out of curiosity, are all of those properties out there across the highway in the city limits now? So are they necessarily even affected by the latecomers agreement?
Not all of them are. So this property within the city, this property is within the city. This is not in the city, it is by the county. And this property is actually in the county, but it's city owned. So once we determine that these properties should be allotted a portion of the latecomers, then I will work with Lauren to work it through the county process to let them know that there needs to be an interlocal agreement that the properties in the county would have water service available contingent upon payment of the latecomers agreement. And it's similar to any one of these properties in that the fees are not paid at this point. They are only payable upon development and connection to the water main. So until then, it's just kind of an IOU to the city if and when they develop.
So how many years, Travis, is that that applied to? Is it a 10-year, 15-year?
No, there's no limit on these. So it becomes, and the next item on the agenda is the ordinance for the actual code language that applies to all of these properties. So the next item on your agenda actually itemizes which properties would be subject, and that's in perpetuity until they develop.
So there's no state regulation or code or anything that states 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, no?
No.
Okay.
If it was a private developer, then there would be a sunset based upon how long the council approved the latecomers agreement for.
So does the city have to go by the state mandate, or do we have our own, do we set that ourselves as a city?
Our own regulation.
Our own regulation for the years?
I'm sorry?
Now, you said if it's a private, then there is a set time, right?
Yes.
So is that set by the state, or is that set by the city?
The time limit for how long it lasts is set by state RCWs. You can.
So can we amend that or adopt that, or as a city if we wanted more?
We do. No, there is an ultimate limit that's outlined in the RCWs.
Oh, there is.
So I believe it's 20 years is the maximum amount for a private developer latecomers.
And Angel, just to let you know, so the for the latecomers agreement, it's a different section of the revised code of Washington that provides for council to impose a latecomers agreement or a reassessment area for water and sewer projects that were financed solely by public dollars versus the latecomer agreements that maybe are a little more common or that, you know, I'm used to more working with, which are a private developer improves their property, puts in those utilities, and asks the city to impose that connection charge, you know, on people that are developing through the planning process. So it's a completely different statute, and that statute does not have a time limit in it that applies to the cities, whereas the one for the private developers does. That's kind of the explanation of the difference in the code anyway.
So this is one cost that would be associated with anyone connecting to the system that was already provided to them, and it's a linear foot cost for the
yes.
pipe and the ownership of the system. Then there's also on top of that going to be a connection fee cost for whatever size.
Yes. So they are two separate actions. One is the infrastructure cost, and then when the developer develops and they submit a building permit is when we start calculating the connection cost that we have the discussion on ahead of time. So this is, so there are two kind of separate phases. There's,
and it never gets exercised until somebody develops.
Yes.
And taps into the system. Was there a factor to come up with the $77.21 per foot?
No, it was a simple calculation using the amount of money that the city spent to install the water line, and then we divided it by the total number of square footage, and then we allotted a certain amount to either side, because theoretically it's the same pipe that goes in the road, so each property owner on each side is only paying for their half. And then the city pays a portion because the city includes some of that frontage. So what you're seeing, there is no overhead for the actual drilling of well 9 and the building for the pump house. This is strictly for the pipe and the installation cost for the water line.
Seems very high to me. But we're going to bring this to committee, discuss it in committee, so I don't need to ask too many questions tonight
okay.
with regard to it. Okay. And so tonight was supposed to be the public hearing for the landowner?
Yes.
Does anybody hear from the land ownership?
I don't see anyone. I did receive one phone call from a property owner, and they actually called and talked to Trish, and it was Pete Tagaris, or Pete Tagaris Jr., depending on which Pete you know, who is the owner of the Tag Investments LLC, and it represents about $200,000 worth of that. And his sole comment was that he didn't need to pay that now, he just wanted to clarify that it only comes due when the property is sold or developed, or sold and developed in this case. So that was the only comment we got, and he was satisfied.
Well, why would he, if he sold the property outright and kept it agricultural, why would he have to pay anything?
That's why I clarified it's sold and developed. It's not just
okay.
sold. So, and Trish said, you need to submit something in writing, and he said, no, not worth it.
That was the only inquiry. Okay. Council, do you have any more questions for Travis?
Not at this time.
Okay.
I have kind of a question or comment. I don't understand why we're going to drop the entire cost of that pipe on 10 property owners when that pipe is benefiting every single person in the city limits. That benefits the city so much that we went in and voted that as an emergency to get that in because we needed that pipe in here. And the other thing is, that well is actually useless to the city without that pipe. So we're asking 10 property owners to come in and pay the entire cost of that. And I don't believe that's right.
So my response to that would be the individual taxpayers on the system paid for the well and the pump house, not the actual pipe.
Right.
And you could argue that the only reason why we needed the additional well was because of new development. Therefore, existing ratepayers should not pay for system expansion. And so, and I know this has come up before, and this is, I think, part of what we want to discuss in the committee tomorrow, because it gets back to the conversation we had about, is this double dipping or not? And are we charging them multiple times for this? Now, if the well 9 was not out there and they were simply installing a water line out to the watering hole, the watering hole property owner would not have to pay for this entire line. Theoretically, they might pay for it up front with a private installation, but that latecomers would pay them back eventually. And in that case, the developer would not expect for a public portion to be paid for that pipe itself.
Yeah, these are all good questions.
In a sense, Corey, you're kind of right, but what's good about this is that they're not going to pay this till that property is sold and gets developed.
Right, I understand.
If I develop, say, let's use that southeast corner. If I develop that corner, I have to bring the water through there.
Right.
That's all going to come out of my pocket.
I'm not advocating that they don't pay any of it. I believe that their response should be responsible for a portion of it because they are benefiting with that line out there. But so is everybody else in the city.
True. And it goes back to what I said when we first opened this discussion. How can we bill somebody twice? And, we're double dipping. But as Kelly explained, yeah, is we're entitled to. We're entitled to
just recover. Because we're entitled to it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
But and that's what we have to decide by the way we vote.
But Corsi, and I don't see it as a development. It's not something that the city needed. Yeah, we needed the well and we needed the water, but we wouldn't have needed that well if the city hadn't been expanding.
Not true. We were at a point where we didn't have water to provide to the city.
Exactly.
This year, that happened.
And that's where I'm coming.
That happened, and so we.
But a lot of that is because the city has been growing. If the city was stagnant and it wasn't growing, we wouldn't need to add any wells, and that's what he's saying
as everybody knows.
Then the city has paid for the well, and the taxpayer should not have to pay for that piping.
It's not because we were growing. It's because of the fact that we're losing the amount of contribution from groundwater that we can put into our towers and maintain it. Mm-hmm. So it's not because we needed it for growth. It's we needed it to sustain what was already existing. And we needed that volume to put into the tanks.
Okay, so...
But anyway, we're going to go over it in committee and we're going to talk about it. If you want to give me your concerns, we'll discuss them.
Well, that's my major concerns right there. I don't believe it's the right thing to do to drop that entire cost on 10 property owners when it's benefiting every single person in this city.
Very quick here, I'm just with John on that part because what he talked about in our last meeting and the meeting before was that they're paying for the pipe to go through the property, but then they have to tap into it and pay a fee. It's like double dipping. So I understand what you're saying, John, going back to that. So you're saying we shouldn't charge a connection fee because we put in, they paid for the line. Am I right?
Now, here's the other thing that I'm looking at, too, just looking at the map, is that why would a property owner at the very beginning of this project, just off of Walmart, where the line extended to previously anyway, why would he be responsible for a portion of a 7,150-foot line his share is being included in 7,150 feet of pipeline cost, when really his only share would be that extra 100 to 200 feet of pipeline that he needed to put in.
Okay, Council, I want to have you guys go back, which is why we're not going to vote on this ordinance tonight. So I want you to go back to the committee, bring your best arguments. Travis is going to explain the planning function and portion of this, and then we'll bring it back up again in open council and have a discussion. There may be some changes. It may stay the same. That'll be decided, you know, at the next council meeting. So the next portion of this council, or of this public hearing, I'd like to ask if there's any public testimony in three parts, those in support, those neutral, and those in opposition to this ordinance. Is there anybody here who would like to speak in support of this ordinance? Hearing none, is there any that are neutral to this proposal that would like to speak? Hearing none, is there any in opposition to this ordinance that would like to speak tonight? Okay. Hearing none, then I'm going to close this public hearing at 7:11 p.m. And we will remand this ordinance, which is 4.2, to the committee. The committee can have a discussion about all these issues and questions that were brought before, you know, Travis tonight, and have an opportunity to work through those details, and then come back in 2 weeks, if that's proper time, and bring a recommendation to the council from the committee. Okay? Fair enough. So that addresses 4.2. Let's go to 4.3. Spencer wants to finalize the budget committee meeting schedule. Spencer?
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. This is really a continuation of a conversation that we started during our last council meeting, where we're starting to get into the budget here, planning for the 2017 fiscal year. And here in towards the end of September and first couple of weeks of October, we want to have a series of budget council committee meetings to discuss sections of the budget at a time. We presented this schedule, this tentative schedule, during our last meeting, and hopefully you've had a chance to look over it, see what you think. We made, at that meeting, we made one change on committee number four, the street committee. I added council member Garza in the place of Lawless, and that's the only change that I've made. The other committees are as they're listed. Most of them meet at noon. We have the first one and the sixth one, the solid waste one. Those are at 6:15 to help accommodate, make it so it works.
That was me. Thank you.
I wasn't going to say that.
I can take it.
So if you want, we can just move forward with the schedule that's what we'll do.
Okay. Any objections, Council? You're okay with this new schedule? A revised schedule? Good. Thank you, Spencer. We're now going to move to item 4.4, Consolidated Disposal Service Incorporated Contract Amendment.
I need to abstain from this item. I work for Consolidated Disposal, so I'll be abstaining.
Okay. Thank you. Noted for the record that Corey Everett, council member, is an employee of Consolidated Disposal, and he's recusing himself from the discussion and from any vote on this amendment. Go ahead, Spencer.
Okay. We use CDSI for our garbage service for the city. Per our original contract with them, our rates, the rates that CDSI charges the city itself, those rates are up for not renewal, but up for adjustment for the previous 2 year CPI. They contacted us with the adjusted the adjustment, the new CPI that they want to adjust the rates by. It's 0.65% that they want to increase our rates by, just a little over 0.5%. Ultimately, I want to make sure that there's a difference here. These are the rates that CDSI charges the city, not the rates that the city's charging customers. These are just our rates. Ultimately, this 0.5% equals about $3,000, $2,600, $2,800 in there somewhere, total cost to the city.
Per
year.
Okay.
For the year, yeah. It's a tiny adjustment. The So I would recommend that we go ahead with these rates that they charge, or that they're proposing. I don't think we need to revisit the rates that the city charges in lieu of this change, because it is so small. Our city garbage rate ordinance covers a three-year period that ends with, it goes through 2017. So next year we'll be reviewing these rates anyway, for the next three-year period starting in 2018.
So it's adjusted annually by the CPI, or is it
every 2 years? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions, Council? So you're...
propose that we accept this contract amendment.
Okay. Entertain a motion to accept the contract amendment to adjust Consolidated Disposal's rate schedule.
Make that motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Spencer.
Thank you.
Item 4.5, award contract to Century Link. Wade?
Obviously, Rigo would normally be presenting this to Council and Mayor, but he's on vacation. Went something planned before we ever hired him, so of course let him go on the vacation. So, but we talked and we decided we needed to move this forward. Just a little bit more background on what he put in his agenda memo. If Council remembers, back in the previous IT's term here, director's term here, we looked at getting a better way than our phones hooked up, and we also ordered new phones. Well, I had Rigo, I gave Rigo several tasks when he joined us. I said, I want you to evaluate that contract that a previous director had looked at for this hookup service and see if it's really the best thing for the city. It's supposed to save us money, but see if it's really best. He evaluated it and found it was not. I can't remember the name of the company right now. I didn't research it, sorry. But he said, that's not the best way for us to go. I said, okay, find us a better way to go. So he got up with CenturyLink, looked at how it provided better quality of service, more services, and don't ask me the technical details because I don't know. You can go back and ask Rigo if you'd like. But the way he explained it to me was, it's definitely better quality, more reliable, and the contract looked better. So I said, well, how about the cost? The cost was, we're not saving quite as much, but it's pretty close to what we were saving with the other company. And so we decided to go with this if Council approved. So without going to the technical details that are on here or in the contract, then I ask Council to consider it. Talk to Kelly today a little bit about that. There's a few things in the contract that aren't quite up to what we'd like, but nothing, no showstoppers, Kelly, if that's the way I've interpreted it from you, if you want to brief the Council on a few of the minor things that we talked
sure.
about.
Yeah, I don't know if anything that would be that would halt the change here. And I don't know that you're going to, for a big provider, any competitor of CenturyLink, I don't know if it's going to be much different. But the biggest one, you know, as the Council knows, on these governing law provisions, the law and venue provisions of our contracts, we like to make sure it's always Washington law that applies. If there's any dispute ever arises, the jurisdiction is going to be here in Adams County. Now, what they have here, their provision doesn't quite do that, but you can tell this is a boilerplate agreement. You know, CenturyLink is very large. They're not going to change it for us. I can certainly call them and try and negotiate that, but it's not going to happen. I can guarantee you. Now, on the governing law, it will be Washington law. Now, on the venue provisions, it's not any dispute that you that. I mean, and the chances of you having a dispute, well, it's 0.1% probably, right? But if there ever was, the jurisdiction would likely not be in Adams County. Well, it couldn't be in Adams County. The provision here requires to be brought in U.S. District Court. In the U.S. District Court for Washington, you'd be in Eastern District, which would be in Spokane, Tri-Cities, or Yakima, which, and that's not bad. But if there's no federal court jurisdiction, then it has, then it would actually be in Denver State Court in Denver, Colorado. Likely not going to be federal jurisdiction, any agreement that or any dispute that would come out of this agreement. The reason being, unless there was some violation of a federal statute at play, you're going to be likely under state law, and likely what you're going to have is a breach of contract dispute, and that's state law. Now, for to have federal jurisdiction on a breach of contract or a state law claim, it needs to be, you have to have diversity of jurisdiction, which you have here, because CenturyLink actually is a Delaware corporation, which I researched today. I didn't realize that. I thought they were Washington. And the amount of controversy has to be over $75,000. You're not, and this contract you have and the amounts we're talking about, you're not going to have a controversy exceeding $75,000. So essentially with all that, that's a long way of explaining if a dispute ever comes out of this agreement, it's going to be handled in Denver, Colorado, most likely. And that's just out of step of what we've done on every contract that I've looked at since coming on board with you guys. But that being said, chances of there ever being a lawsuit, you know, a disagreement that would advance to a lawsuit coming out of this, chances are slim to none. So just figured we'd let you guys know that. And for those reasons, I don't think that that law and venue provision would trip up your decision. But.
Okay, thanks, Kelly. Okay, any questions on this contract, any concerns?
Just clarification. Rigo put down that our current monthly recurring charge is $828, and that this new line will save us $358 before taxes per month. So it's a reduction in cost?
It's a reduction in cost for an increase in service. Again, another...
But you'll have about a $400 to $700 charge for delivery.
Yes, it's like that. So it's... you know, Rigo yet again proved his worth by giving us a better contract for not quite as much savings. I can't remember what the original cost savings was, but it was a little more than that. But we're still saving money and getting better quality of service.
You'll be able to do business and you'll be able to do it better.
Right. Right now, as he says, in agenda memo, we're dropping calls. You know, you'll be talking and all of a sudden they're gone. And that's supposed to not happen with this contract, but based on the capability and the amount of calls they can take. So I ask council to consider this. And
so no money out of budget. We're done.
Right.
Okay, council.
I make a motion that we vote to approve the contract with CenturyLink.
As Rigo stated.
Second motion. Okay, any further discussion, council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Move to item 4.6, resolution to endorse a water plan for the city of Othello. Five of the city council were present at the water summit that we hosted on July 28th. Various agencies attended the event, and the consensus of those participants was to take part and assist the city of Othello to address and resolve the water supply and disposal issue in the city and the greater Columbia Basin region. And whereas the city of Othello recognizes the critical need to develop solutions for its water needs, whereas the city of Othello seeks to develop both short and long-term solutions for this issue, whereas the city of Othello believes that the short-term solution involves developing another well and building a storage tank, while the long-term solution may be either aquifer storage and recovery or wastewater reuse or a combination of these options. And whereas the city of Othello obtained a grant from the Office of the Columbia River, and is, which is a Department of Ecology division, and a study is being conducted to examine the feasibility of an aquifer storage recovery project in Othello. And whereas the City of Othello consultants and engineers are seeking other grant funding to pursue the feasibility of water reuse, as well as actual development of the best option to resolve our water issues, so therefore the City of Othello will, with the help of our partners and the support of state and federal agency, as well as the vision and work of the Mayor and City Council,
develop and implement an Othello Regional Water Plan. The reason we, or I asked the staff to put together this resolution is for purposes, political reasons, and for memorializing the direction that this council wants to move forward, so that whenever we talk to other agencies, they can see that the city council is in support of sustaining the water supply for further development, sustainability, and potential future industrial and commercial growth. So this is presented tonight before the council for adoption, for the mayor to sign this resolution. And I think I stated the purpose of what it's for. And after that meeting that we had, there was lots of enthusiasm and agreement that the city of Othello needs to move in this direction. Wouldn't you agree? So
I agree that we do need to do this 100%. But I do agree that we need a stipulation that the plan be developed and then approved by the council.
Absolutely.
For acceptance. Yeah. So it doesn't say that in here. And what direction we go with the plan, there may be two or three different plans put together, and we come to a consensus on one individual plan.
Sorry, I thought that's understood. That goes without saying, I guess, that we can't move forward with any kind of money. We can't even get, we've got to ask for grants about you guys going along with it. So
no, I know that, but
we can make an adjustment to this resolution. We can approve it with the stipulation that, you know, with and add with council approval to that.
But there may be some things that happen that could happen with just the interest that was created from the meeting that we held. There may be some things that occur,
additional things
that would direct us towards a more, you know, a particular plan of dealing with the water shortage. Because right now we've got in front of us, we got about three different directions we can go with, you know. There's a short-term plan of drilling an additional well. That's something we need to consider and think strongly about within the next two years as a council to, you know, to get that done as soon as possible. Then there's the long-term plans of wastewater reuse, which I believe is a really good idea. And then there's the aquifer recharge storage, ARS.
So you just don't want us to be locked into one single plan when we have a lot of options.
This is not, yeah. This, I'm rereading this resolution. I think I tried to make sure.
Here. Yeah. The last paragraph.
Okay, yeah, adopted by the city council, but okay.
It just says support to develop.
To develop a plan. So
yeah, the plan is not developed, and we know that.
Okay.
Yeah, and this all this is a political document to let these agencies know that the City Council of Othello is moving in this direction.
Oh, okay. So it's okay. Just we're making a declaration?
Yes. More or less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now let's, for example, and part of the reason why you want to make this declaration is because, I'm running for re-election next year. Well, what if I don't win? What if some of the others here who are on the council have to run decide they don't want to run? Or maybe for whatever reason between now and next year, I decide not to run. Well, then the existing council who is there can point back to this document and say, at one time here, this is the direction we were going in. This is what we were planning to develop. Is there still merit to develop this plan? And I think that there is. But there needs to be a document in place that memorializes that today we're in agreement to develop a plan.
Okay. I'm good with that. We're just making a declaration.
Yep. Okay, so I entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, council. Now, We have certain members of the audience ready to hear this next item, 4.7, resolution to award the official newspaper.
Thank you, Mayor. So the Outlook had provided notice that they were closing. Their last publication was July 28th. They were awarded the official newspaper, and that was through for a year, and it began in May. So then we called for bids for the official newspaper, and we received two bids. The Columbia Basin Herald submitted a bid for $8.15 per single column inch, and the Sun Tribune submitted a bid for $8.15 per single column inch. As you can see, Mr. Fontaine submitted both bids for the same rate. Those are the rates that we were paying the Othello Outlook at the time. Both newspapers meet the definition of a legal newspaper, and we have had the Columbia Basin Herald as our official newspaper in the past. In late July, Eric LaFontaine came to the council, and during the citizen input, reported that the Sun Tribune will become the Othello Community Newspaper. He advised that the Sun Tribune will honor the subscriptions paid by those that pay subscriptions to the Othello Outlook, and that they will hire a publisher in Othello. The Sun Tribune is a weekly newspaper, and you may have all received a copy of the Sun Tribune last week. And that was part of their commitment to honor the subscriptions paid to the Othello Outlook. Based upon, this is a council decision, by RCWs, we are to advertise annually for the official newspaper, and you are to award the bid to the lowest responsible bidder. Staff recommends that the council award the official newspaper to the Sun Tribune, noting that they are aiming to become the local newspaper. So I did provide a resolution designating the Sun Tribune as a city official newspaper, and that'll be for 1 year. Any questions?
Just a comment. I did go to the organizational meeting that they had, or informational, and as Eric explained, you know, to start a new newspaper here in the city, it does cost quite a bit of money. They're going to use the Band-Aid approach to get started, and as they begin to build momentum, they intend to make it a fully functional newspaper. The first item on the agenda is to secure and find a publisher who will live here in the community. And until then, they're going to use staff from both the Tribune and from Columbia Basin Herald to cover events and sports and government. We have Lynn here from the, are you the Tribune or the Herald, Lynn?
The story will be the Tribune,
she's the editor of the Columbia Basin Herald. Eric is committed to getting us a hometown paper again. And so that's why, because I asked Debbie, because I said, well, it's identical, which one do we want to go with? Well, I think a vote for the Sun Tribune is a vote for our own newspaper in Othello again, and I think that we need that. So that's all I would say about that. And at this time, I didn't, if there's any other statements or questions, this time I entertain a motion to award the official newspaper to the Sun Tribune.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, at the workshop last week, we discussed creating a pocket park at Madera Street Cemetery Road, and we have a resolution here before the council. Who was absent? You were absent? Okay, Travis, do you think you could just give us a quick overview of what we're doing here? I just want to make sure everybody knows what is going on and where this is and what we intend to do.
Sure. So what you're looking at is a close-up of the intersection of Madera and Cemetery. The cemetery is just off the picture to the right, to the east. Here is the canal. Here's the drainage ditch. There is a trail, an existing paved trail that comes down on the east side of the drainage ditch. Here is the area that we are talking about for the pocket park. A portion of that is hollowed out and lined with rock for a stormwater pond. This is sidewalk that goes and eventually will connect with the rest of Palos Verde and out to Main Street once the homes are built along this side. And here is cemetery heading back towards the water tower. Here's a picture of the site. You can see that there is a flat area here, existing sidewalk with ADA access, and this is the curved return going down to the trail. And then there is a ADA crosswalk here, and then you can get all the way to 14th Avenue on an ADA accessible trail system. So eventually that ADA system will connect up to Main Street. Here's a picture of it from the other side. You can see here's where the stormwater excavation, or the swale, not the swale, but the stormwater pond is. But there's a pretty large area up here. And so what we envisioned is, there's a little better picture of the pond. What we envision is some kind of rest stop, because if you look at the aerial, sorry, I forgot to mention this. This is in the comprehensive plan as a trail that would come off down on this side. There is also a potential comp plan trail identified along the Bureau. And then there is an existing trail that goes out to the cemetery. So this is actually the intersection of three trail systems in our comprehensive plan. And two of them are already developed, and the third one is also developed because there is a gravel walkway that people are already currently using along the canal. So the problem that was identified is that there are no rest benches. There are workout stations on this path, but there's nowhere to actually sit down and rest in this area. And you would literally have to walk to the school, and I'm not even sure there's anywhere to sit down at either Juajitas or Cascades or Columbia Springs.
Scootney Springs.
So there literally is nowhere for anyone to sit down. And so that's why this park location is applicable. And so this gives you an idea of what could be placed there. And since this was brought up at the last meeting, the question of being able to put in some kind of trees or some structure that would help provide shade relief, it would be good. So are there any questions about
that? Has a street light right on the corner there?
Yeah.
Yes.
On the west corner.
No plan on either side to locate a sign for Palos Verdes? No.
And there's one quirk here, and that is the city limits actually end about right here. And so this portion is city-owned land, but it's actually in the county. So we couldn't actually even authorize Palos Verde to place a sign there if they wanted one. He would have to go to the county and seek it.
I don't have that sign on 16th. Coming in from me.
So what's our limitation as far as that being a stormwater runoff area? Can we do anything
There is theoretically no limitation on it as long as the capacity is maintained. We could pull out that rock, and if we're willing to dedicate recreation funds to pull it out and to put in a dry well or to grass it, but it would require additional maintenance responsibility, and if you were to install trees, it would require some kind of irrigation system to keep them alive.
So I think that was the issue with the grass, is there's no irrigation on the side.
There's water and power there.
Or shrubs. So basically we would have a maintenance-free park, more or less. So as Travis stated, the council has the authority to create a park on its own lands, as it says in this resolution. It's consistent with our comprehensive plan of creating parks. And it's just a matter of whether the city council tonight would like to take this property and create a pocket park, would basically according to what our current plan is right now, would be just a respite for people who are on the walking path to maybe rest, get in the shade, and you could potentially find people going there. It's a nice little quiet, secluded location to have lunch or just to go and reflect and gather your thoughts, I suppose. So the council has that authority, and if you want to exercise that authority and create this park, you certainly can do that. I think at a later date, we would probably seek to name this park, but for tonight, it's just first steps first, and that is does the council want to adopt this resolution to create this pocket park? Yes, say yes.
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 Basically, okay. So I need a motion.
I'll make the motion to
create the park.
Create the park.
And Larry is second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. As you, many of you were here when Dave Spurl presented the shoes that had all the goat heads and sand burrs in them, and after walking on a piece of property here in the city. And so after discovery, we found out the council needs to designate or amend our OMC so that we can actually enforce that regulation, because right now we're at weeds that are 12 inches and above, and since the puncture vine doesn't grow to that height, we needed some kind of legislative action to make that change. Is that correct, Travis? Okay.
So I don't know whether you need me to add anything more, but I think you're exactly right. The language that is proposed clarifies that the city will pursue code enforcement on weeds that are less than 12 inches in height, which is something we could not do before. So this language should reflect your request from that meeting.
Council?
Perfect. Yep. Good.
Need to do it. Okay. So I'll need a motion to amend our city ordinance, Title V, Health and Sanitation.
I'll make the motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move to item five on our agenda is the unfinished business. Tonight, is there a council any unfinished business you'd like to?
I've got something that I should have brought it up under 4.8. Bob Carlson pointed out to me that creating that park there, does that fall under the curfew of the parks?
I would assume that our curfew, unless we specifically assign a different curfew to that park, they would apply to all parks. Is that right?
I don't know how many people walk in at 11 o'clock at night or anything, but you know, if somebody was and they're sitting there, they're violating the curfew. So I think that's something we need to look at in our.
I would have to look that up because technically the park itself is in the county. Sorry, Kelly. Wow. Stealing your thunder.
Nope, that's perfectly fine.
I can look into that and I can report back to you if you would like me to.
Thank you.
That's a good question.
Is it city property?
Yes.
Owned by the city.
But in the county?
Yes.
Yes.
Why can't we annex it?
Can we have an offline conversation? John, I'll give you some reasons.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so then, is there any other for unfinished business?
I got one.
Yes, Larry.
We talked last week, guys, about the weed problem on the other side of the fence on, by that walking path, and I got a hold of the right guy, and it should be mowed and sprayed by tomorrow. It's already been half done, but and the right guy was my boy.
Okay, yeah.
So he's getting her done.
Good. That's great news. Further unfinished business? Okay. Let's move to item six, new business. Is there any new business that council would like staff to research and prepare for our next council meeting? Okay, very good. And I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:45 p.m.
Spencer, before you...